You're listening to Overdrive on TSN 1050. I'm Dave Naylor, in for Brian Hayes. Jeff O'Neill's with me in just a moment. Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, will join us on the show at 5:30. Dirk Hayhurst, TSN 1050, Jays analyst. Jays and the Orioles, game three tonight. Marcus Stroman goes to the hill after they let one get away late. Brian Hayes is on a four-day epic bachelor party weekend. You ever been on one of those?
No.
I've never done that. I've never done the traveling bachelor party.
No, my buddies were always just old school, like kind of meet at a restaurant or meet at a pub. It's like this new wave of everything being on steroids where your birthday party has got to be 4 days long in either Vegas or Nashville or Miami. I just don't get it, why everything is so, it's just so blown out of proportion. Well, it's like, okay, it's your birthday. It's your 27th birthday. It's your 24th. It's your 34th. Like, what is it? Your 20th, your 30th. I don't know. Maybe you even go to the 25th. Your 40's a big one. 50's a big one.
Any excuse for a party, man.
But these people these days, you follow social media. It's like every single birthday is the biggest event on earth. I don't get it.
What'd you do for your 40th?
My 40th birthday, I had some friends just have...
Low-key.
Low-key, like their kids were there, my kids were there, we had a dinner, and it was over. It wasn't 5 days, and like, there's people that are going on exotic trips for, like, if I had a friend, Dave, you like to travel.
Yeah.
If they said, for my 40th, we're going to the Maldives, whatever.
Yeah.
We're going to Brazil.
Somewhere exotic.
Are you saying, yeah, I'm in?
No, not with that kind of dough. I've been approached, like, before, but guys want to have Amsterdam stags or things like that. Which you can get there on like at least one flight. It's not like going to Brazil. I might be in for that. I like to travel. The other thing I've heard about with these stags, I was talking to a guy at a guy's weekend a couple weeks ago up at a cottage, and we were talking about this. This guy was talking about these, like if you're in the building industry and you got suppliers, and so you hit up all your suppliers. Let's say the guy who runs the building company, his kid is getting married. So he has like a stag, and they sell tables at the stag for like thousands of dollars. And so they call up all the suppliers to the company and say, hey, buy a table at the stag. And so, like, the money that comes in through this thing, and of course, the guys are suppliers to the company, so they don't want to say, well, no, I'm not buying a table at the, because, you know, it may cost you business. So you spend thousands of dollars on these tables. And, like, some of these sons of the presidents of these companies are walking away with, like, tens of thousands of dollars off what's supposed to be, like, a celebration.
We got to ask Ray what the old school kind of bachelor parties and birthday parties were like back in the day in the NHL.
Ray Ferraro joins us, TSN hockey analyst. Ray, what's the right amount of celebration for a bachelor party? Hayes is on this 4-day epic, this costume to miss two shows. That's why I'm here and he's not.
Well, my oldest son is going to Phoenix in, I think, 10 days for a 3.5-day bachelor party.
Like, how do you feel by the third day of that thing?
You must feel like I can't even imagine what you feel like. Terrible, rotten.
But you really wake up and say, guys, let's do it again?
This is a great idea. Let's go out and find some more stuff to drink. Like, I don't know. But I heard, like, did you not just for a bachelor party? It was like a day. It was like, I don't know, maybe you had an overnight somewhere, but I mostly remember, like, it would be a full day of nonsense. Stupidity.
I didn't even have that. It was just a night out at the pub, like just get
together.
Yeah,
and then you went home.
Yeah, like normal people.
Yeah, I got.
Yeah, I did this thing here, like 4 days, 3 days. Like, that doesn't strike me as anything that was done back when I was doing that stuff. That's for sure.
I ended up getting dragged to a strip joint in Ottawa, and I had been to a strip joint or been to a stag at the Bear Fax before. And I saw what happened to the guy that he ended up on stage in his underwear or something. So I chose my underclothing very carefully that night.
See, I'm not going there. I'm telling my buddies, if you attempt this, not happening.
Not happening.
No.
Hey, that was back before everybody had a camera phone. So
yeah, I know. That would be bad news today.
I don't think there's any evidence of that, thank God. Ray, your Red Sox won or clinched the division. They didn't win, actually. Mark Teixeira went yard on them last night, but the Blue Jays came through in the reverse fashion. And how are you feeling about them heading into the postseason?
I'm surprised. I, as you can imagine, I get a lot of buddies that are Blue Jays fans, and at the start of the year, they were giving it to me pretty good, and because the Sox were stumbling all over the place. I just didn't think Boston was going to be good enough. I didn't think they had enough pitching, or you know, I thought they were too young. And as it turns out, obviously they had enough pitching, and they just smashed the baseball. And so I'm very pleasantly surprised. I can hardly wait for it to start. And I guess we'll see. You know, this weekend series might turn out to be really important for Toronto, and you know, Boston's going to have, you know, certainly not, you know, their starters won't pitch a lot. They'll kind of get everything set for the playoffs. But this could be a really, really important series for Toronto, especially if they lose tonight.
What do you make of their performance, Ray, over the last 5 to 7 years? It's playoffs or last, and then playoffs, and then last. I mean, as a fan or just as a model for a sports team, are you happy with that? I mean, making the playoffs and then you'll sacrifice last the next year? Or just what are your general thoughts?
You know what, Ole? Because they've won, or because they've been really competitive, it's like the last place years, they kind of just melt away. But if they were last, made the playoffs, knocked out in the first round, last, made the playoffs, knocked out in the first round, that would, I think, as a fan, gets old. At least there's success. And you go, well, okay, I can put up with a retool or a rebuild, yet, you know, so they're rebuilding or retooling, and they got four or five guys that are 23 and under that are absolute stars of their team. And it's like anything, I guess. If you don't internally draft, you're going to have big droughts between successful seasons. And so they hit the ditch last year, and now all of a sudden they're, you know, Porcello wins 22 games and they're in first place, but it's a bunch of their homegrown guys that have made the difference. I don't think it's any different in hockey, really.
Yeah, they're the antithesis of what the Jays were forever, which was, you know, they weren't winning division titles and they weren't bottoming out. They were just kind of stuck in that bland middle. The other Red Sox element, Ray, that has represented the difference between first half Red Sox and second half Red Sox, David Price, who may yet come back to haunt these Blue Jays.
Yeah, well, he got pounded around the other day, and they got him off the hook, and he really struggled in the first part of the year, and I think his September record the last 2 years has just been amazing. I know the Jays and fans were sour that he left, but maybe not at the number that he left for, but he's still really good. And if Boston gets, I don't think Boston's got a ton of pitching, but in a series, they've got enough. You know, they've got enough. If it's Price and Porcello, and then they get the Pomeranz and or Buchholz, they're probably decent. But they don't have much room for error, that's for sure.
36 holes you played yesterday?
Yes, and I played really well. That might be my last round of the year or last rounds of the year, and that was really good.
No blow-ups on 36 holes?
It was astounding, actually. I played in runners with no glove and rental clubs, and and I hit the ball as pure as I've hit it all summer. I have no explanation.
So your expectations were low, because that's what I find often in golf is when you go out and you, as you say, runners and rental clubs, your expectations hit the floor, and therefore you just relax and you play golf.
Yeah, but Dave, the problem is then you think I've got it figured out. I've got it now, and this is going to carry over. But what it's going to carry over to, I got no idea. So that'll probably be it. Though we're getting buckled here with once the exhibition games are over, and you know, season starts on the 12th. That'll be it for me. That's for sure.
You guys were just mentioning expectations. We were talking about William Nylander earlier. What are your expectations for him this year, as far as where he plays, what position? And his performance, like what kind of production should we expect from this guy?
Well, I mean, for sure he's going to be on the wing, because if they've got Bozak, Kadri, and Matthews, there's, you know, he's not going to be the fourth line center. So you're looking at him on the wing, in my opinion, either with Kadri or with Bozak, because I don't know that they'd play him and Matthews together. I mean, Nylander's, I think he's a really good player. What's pretty interesting is this year we haven't had anything to talk about with him, because it's been all Matthews 11 months after it was all Nylander. And I don't see why he can't be a really productive player this year. But I think he's, I think almost certainly he's a winger. You know, he has to be. I don't see any space for him that they would use him this year in the middle.
We're in conversation with Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst. A year ago, Ray, nobody would have said zero as the number of Canadian teams anticipated to make the postseason. Your number this year is?
Somewhere between, well, I think somebody will make it. I think Montreal will make it. I think Ottawa is going to make it. And then one team out west. So I would say three. If somebody has an amazing run or an amazing couple of months and they just pile up a bunch of points and kind of, you know, mitigate the tough months, I think somebody else possibly could make it. But I think three could make it.
Could that somebody else be the Maple Leafs? Because the conversation I'm hearing, picking up, listening to hockey analysts and experts, such not necessarily people who are in this market, but beyond, is this idea that they're sort of opening the door to the possibility that the Maple Leafs could be in the hunt for that playoff spot, where it felt like at the end of last season, even after Austin Matthews, it was like, well, these guys are still, you know, at least a year or so away from the postseason. Where are you on the possibility of the Maple Leafs and the postseason?
Low for me. I mean, they won, what'd they win, 29 games last year?
Yeah.
So you got to win 45, roughly, to get in. I mean, that's a big jump. And don't forget, your 16 wins have to come from somewhere.
Right.
Like, you've got to take them from somebody else. I'm saying that Montreal will win more. So they're going to take wins from somebody else. Who's going to drop back enough to give you 16 extra wins for them? Like, I don't see it yet. I like a lot that Toronto has done since the beginning of last year. I really do. I like their focus to their plan. I like their vision. I like their the way that they've drafted and put skill at the priority levels, because it was a team in need of it. But I just don't see them bridging that gap yet.
Do you think their young superstar learned he was in a nut house yesterday when he broke a pane of glass and it was everywhere?
Yeah, I think he did. I mean, like, seriously. Like, you know, I like this quote there. He's like, yeah, it's kind of a bad shot, and then it was a big deal. I got a bunch of texts on it. You know, I kind of like the way he dealt with it. And I do think, and I'm sure we probably realized last year, but they'll be really protective of him and how much the media can get to him this year, because the expectations are going to be incredibly high for him, and they'll do their best to protect and to keep him out of the glare as much as they can.
I'm surprised somebody didn't like pick up the broken glass and put shards of it on eBay or something.
Oh, it's crazy. Ray, I got to ask you, did you see any of the highlights from the Oilers game last night? Milan Lucic must have a pretty big grin on his face today. He was getting passes and opportunities like point blank in front of the net. If he doesn't score 30 this year, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, he fumbled a couple of them around, but he's okay. So we know he's a giant. We know he can get to the net. If he can remember to put his stick down, I'm with you. He's going to have a big year. Like, how good did McDavid look?
Ridiculous.
Like I'm watching and thinking, McDavid can get 90 points this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think he can win the Hart Trophy.
I mean, there was one guy that had 100 points last year, I believe. And that was Kane. I think that was it. Maybe Ben had 100 too. But I think this 19-year-old can get upwards of 90 points. Like, yeah, I'm blown away with him. I think he's amazing.
Is he going to be top five player in the league this year?
Points-wise?
Just overall. If you said, like, who are the best players in hockey?
Hart Trophy.
I think he will. Five is a pretty narrow thing. I'll say he'll be in the top 10 for sure. I think the kid is amazing.
I don't think there's 10 better players than him in the league right now.
I might agree with you.
You're probably pretty right with that. I mean, like,
well, you put it that way. Yeah.
I'm going through and I'm like, you know, is he, you know, you've got Kane and you've got Crosby, and I mean, just talking about forwards, and then you're like, you know, Kopitar's a hell of a player, but is he better? I don't know. He's different. Is Taves? I mean, I don't know, but then this kid is going to do things that other people just can't do, and he's going to do them for 15 years.
It would be great to see a full season of him after he was injured last year for a good chunk of it. Speaking of injuries, Ray, Clark MacArthur, 4 concussions in 8 months, 1 sustained in a scrimmage this week that caused quite a brouhaha in Ottawa, says he has no plans to consider retirement. Should he be considering retirement?
I mean, he's not going to come out and say, yeah, I am considering it. But I'm sure the thoughts crossed his mind. But how would you know? I mean, you sit there and you listen to the doctors and you listen to the advice, and then, you know, if I put myself in his shoes, if the doctor said I was fine, I would probably go ahead and play. You know, I can't think that I would be able to look as easily as I can from the outside and say, oh, no, you know, it's best you step away. He's 31. And, you know, you think that things are going to be just fine if the doctors tell you they're going to be just fine.
I said 4 and 18 months. It was actually 4 and 18 months for Clark MacArthur. Okay, wrapping up, since later tonight, in a moment that all Canadians will cherish, I'm sure, the World Cup of Hockey trophy will be handed out, we expect, to Team Canada, unless they get upset. What do you think of that trophy, right?
I'm not really sure what the design process was, but it's uninspiring.
I mean, it's like guys don't know what to do with it. Like with the Stanley Cup, whether it's accidental or not, it actually fits your hands, right? You
yeah,
know
but
what to do with
it. Some of the other trophies, Dave, like the NBA trophy looks like a garbage can with the ball.
Yeah, the Larry O'Brien trophy,
well,
yeah. So well that we don't even know its name, yeah.
The Major League Baseball trophy looks like a kid's trophy with all the flags around the outside. Like the Stanley Cup is the only, I think the Super Bowl trophy, I guess, is. Well, I don't know, it's a ball.
I think
right?
the key is you got to put a cup on top, right? Whether you're talking about the Stanley Cup or the Memorial Cup or the Minto Cup or the Grey Cup, they all work.
Yeah, I don't know about this thing. I don't know. You know, hopefully it ends tonight and then we can just turn our focus to the season.
Yeah, that is the, thank you for expressing the sentiment that is being felt across this country. Great stuff, Ray. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
See you later.
There he is, Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, calling the Leafs and the Sabres tonight from St. Catharines. When we continue, Dirk Hayhurst, our TSN 1050 Jays analyst, will join us coming up at 5:30. You're listening to Overdrive on TSN 1050. I'm Dave Naylor in for Brian Hayes. Jeff O'Neill is with me, and coming up about 5 minutes from now, Dirk Hayhurst, our TSN 1050 Jays analyst, will join us. Devin Travis back in the lineup for the Blue Jays tonight after missing a couple of games following the brawl in New York. Dirk comes up, I say, about 5 minutes from now. A World Cup of Hockey final this evening. Tepid response to this thing. I'm fascinated sometimes, and James Duthie was in here in the first hour. He said, you know, he can't think of a major sporting event where the momentum has been just down, down, down. I mentioned the Bills in Toronto series, which, like, I thought the NFL in Toronto was impossible to screw up.
Yeah,
I just thought, like, you just the shield. People would, and they did screw it up. It reminds me that you actually can't make people care about something that they don't care about. Doesn't matter, all the marketing. We've seen that with the Toronto Argonauts this year. You know, they're in BMO Field, had big expectations. People in Toronto have not cared about the CFL for a long time, and you cannot snap your fingers and make them care. Just like Toronto FC, they're going to be first place. They got 30,000 people who care a lot. But beyond that 30,000, I don't hear the conversation, and I don't know how you make those people care.
Other than giving away tickets, I don't know. But after that, if they have the experience, the level of caring, you're not going to go home and be like, or maybe the odd situation, it can be, I really enjoyed that and I care now and I'll go back a second time, but I don't know. We're talking about being a diehard and you've got to be there every game. I mean, you watch the Jays, what their attendance is.
Yeah.
And those people are diehards, all of them.
Yeah,
50,000
on
a day.
Tuesday night. Like that, I'm amazed. Like the Jays are third in Major League attendance right now. But it does kind of raise the conversation. But what I think that, like, for people to care, there has to be, I think, like an emotional attachment to it, right? Like when you go to a Leaf game, and I'm not a dyed-in-the-wool Leaf guy like you are. You played for the team, you grew up as a huge fan, and you remain so. But when you're
like
there,
for me, anytime a Leaf game is on, for me, it's must-watch TV
right.
or a device or tablet
right.
if I'm traveling or in a hotel or someplace there's no TV. I got to have that thing on.
So taking out the fact that you played for them for a moment, why do you care so much about the Leafs? What is it like deep down? Why does that matter to you?
I don't know. It was just growing up. Every Saturday night, it was the Toronto Maple Leafs were on the TV. And this is our city. That's our team. And you supported them regardless if they were garbage. I mean, all through the 80s, it was like, you know, I can remember talking to my buddies during recess at school. It's like they're so bad, but it's just had to be must-watch TV. I don't know why.
I'm always amazed when
people... It's like in your blood. It's like any other team.
And that makes sense. What I'm always amazed is when people are, like, they have a college football team in the States that they're diehard. Oh, I'm a huge Clemson fan. Or an Ohio State. And they have no connection to it. Never been there. Never been to a game. Father didn't go to school there. But they are massive fans of that team. That always surprises me when people have a deep sort of connection to something that they have no connection to.
Yeah, there's people in the States. I know one of my buddies in Carolina. He's a Florida State guy. He's a Buffalo Bills guy. And it's just these random teams, and they start cheering for them, and they're diehards.
If it was sweet.
I'm only one. Like, I'm one and done.
Right.
I can cheer for the Pats. It's like, but that's not
the same thing.
No.
Would this matter if this was Canada playing Russia or the U.S. or Sweden? Where would we be on the give a bleep meter for the World Cup of Hockey?
I think it would be amped up way more than it is for Europe.
This, yeah. Yeah,
I feel this like is, I mean, for anybody, the organizers, for television, for everybody, this is the worst possible matchup.
Yeah.
At least Canada getting there for this country, being in Toronto, is a positive thing. But it had to be U.S. It had to be Russia.
You know what else we need? We need a Canada loss somewhere. Like, if you think of what really put the juice into that Vancouver game against the Americans, it was the fact the Americans had beat them in the round robin.
Yeah.
Like, that was what really kind of... really amp that thing up because you
well never once during this tournament have I said this is a every game I say this is just automatic. They got to just go out there, kind of play hard, kind of work hard, kind of play
their
system.
That's it,
and you're gonna win.
Yeah, 19 times out of 20.
I mean, it did get a little tense. They were down to Russia, I believe, 2-1 for about a 5-minute span, and I'm like, the Russians always scare me because they're so talented.
Right,
they got so many guys that can make a play, but they just tied it up and then slowly took over, and then it's ho-hum, on to the next one.
Remember those Royal Commissions and Blue Ribbon Task Force and all, what's wrong with Canadian hockey? Maybe we need to have one about maybe we're too good. it's honestly, it's taking the fun out. You need some drama. You need some tension.
And there was
this thing
zero.
Has got no tension and no drama. It's been an amazing streak, international hockey, but if anything, for Canadians, it's become a little dull. World Cup of Hockey wraps up tonight. Dirk Hayhurst, our TSN 1050 Blue Jays analyst, is going to join us in just a moment. Jays and the Orioles, Toronto with a one-game lead over Baltimore in the wild card race. Both teams sitting in wild card position, but the top wild card position comes with home field. Now, there's an interesting debate about whether they should care about that. Like, is it more important to set up your bullpen and your starting rotation to have the right guys fresh for that Tuesday game? Or should you care about the fact that it's played at the Rogers Center or Camden Yards in Baltimore? We looked this up. Since they brought in the second wild card, the visiting team has won more games than that. It's a fairly small sample. But I don't know whether it's more important to get the guy you want on the hill and have your bullpen fresh than it is to play to the hilt to get a home field game that, I don't know, does one game of home field advantage matter in baseball?
Well, you just said it. What did you say, the last two or three, the visiting team?
Yeah, the visiting team, and since they brought in the second wild card, the visiting team has won more times than the home team.
I just think they're looking to get to that opportunity, and if things play out where they get the right guy they want, but who knows? Every matchup, every sporting event, you're saying, that's our guy, and if it doesn't work out, you're like, why was that our guy?
Who should their guy be? I think it's Sanchez. Like, that's the one in terms of one-game pitching thing, because I think he has the highest upside of any of the starters.
It seems like he's the guy that could go out there and just start mowing down.
Yeah.
And for fun.
Well, like he did earlier this week. You know, and if they don't, you know, I mean, I guess Hap would be second, Estrada third. I mean, it's a good problem to have that unlike a lot of teams where you might have one guy who's clearly head and shoulders above everybody else in the rotation, and your pressure is to kind of set this thing up. Actually, let's get into this with Dirk Hayhurst, our TSN 1050 Jays analyst. This Baseball Insider is brought to you by Oakland Ford Lincoln, your premier source for auto service and sales in the GTA. Dirk, home field in a wild card game. How much of a priority should it be, and Like, for instance, if you had a choice between setting up your rotation and resting your bullpen and going on the road for that game, or maybe not having the starting pitcher on the hill that you would ideally want and tiring your bullpen out trying to win home field, which would you do?
Well, a lot of it depends on what my offense does and how that park plays. So if we have across the board, we're talking about park that offers no advantage to either team's defense on its ability to be patrolled in the outfield, and it's not homer-centric or, you know, one of those parks like Yankee Stadium where, you know, my hitters are good. They're better just by being there. They're good all as is, but by going to Yankee Stadium, all of a sudden everybody's got that big red wiffle ball bat. I think if you're playing neutral, I want my guys to be ready to play. And there's something psychologically to be said for that home team crowd cheering for you. And, of course, you know, the ability to have last bats. But I still think that if you have guys that have a record of improving with health, which if you're the Blue Jays and you have the oldest team in baseball on average, then rest becomes a factor and you have to play for that. I would rather, especially if it becomes a fight and you have playoff or wild card tiebreaker games and guys are exhausted and you've thrown everybody out there. And let's face it, this is a scenario the Blue Jays could be in. I mean, they're getting to the point now with a depleted bullpen from either effectiveness or injury that they could roll every starter out there. And you could see guys from the rotation in the bullpen just to get them from one game to the next. I want the rest, absolutely, every time.
What'd you make of the bullpen's performance of late? People are freaking out here.
Okay.
Do you make of the idea of Osuna being fatigued? Are you buying into that?
I do believe that Osuna could get overused because he's been your go-to guy for not just one inning, but innings plus. Only because there's not a lot of high-leverage arms out of that bullpen. It's been Hakeem Benoit, Jason Grilley, and then Osuna. In that row like that with, you know, Biagini and Brett Cecil mixed in for spice. But now that Benoit is down, that's a serious blow. I'm not so much worried about Osuna because his June was worse than this month has shaped up to be so far. So he's had a rough month before. I think what we're doing right now is we're saying, you know, this guy's been bad. These games really matter. And I'm making a direct correlation between his failure and my emotional reaction right now. And, you know, this may just be the former reliever in me talking, but I wish more people would talk about all the opportunities to score the Blue Jays had and wasted. And then Osuna goes out there and he's not good when it matters. What about all the other guys that weren't good when it mattered? I mean, you know, we have a few more timely hits. The Blue Jays aren't even in a situation they got to bring Osuna in the game. So, you know, everybody's going to miss opportunities. That's part of baseball. So we can't hang a guy just because he does it in the final inning when everybody's watching.
Isn't it true that it has been a consistency of this team that they are generally not very good in low-scoring games? And if you say, you can say that that's on the offense that misses opportunities to drive guys in with runners in scoring position, or that that's on the bullpen, which obviously if they let a run or two when they've got an 8-3 lead, it's not the story the next day. It just seems like when these guys don't, you know, mash, it doesn't play to their advantage. And traditionally, the type of baseball we see in the postseason is that kind of lower scoring, manufacturer runs, need the bullpen to be perfect version of baseball.
Well, the reason they were so fantastic last year is because they did both mash and they had table setters. Now, it's funny, you can say, well, if guys are mashing a lot, they're going to get walked more frequently, and then you got more guys on bases, and you got more guys that, you know, make the merry-go-round go round. But you had an approach. I mean, Ben Revere was brought in specifically for wheels and opportunities to spray the ball and move around in the defensive upside. You know, Devin Travis coming back in offers that same thing, but that was something that was valued. And then the Blue Jays kind of fell back into what they do best, which is, you know, you've got a lot of power hitters on this club right now. And last season you had a reason to produce for the team. Not saying you don't have this season as well, but you have one other thing that's going on too with a lot of your power hitters, and that's free agency. And what pays more, slugging and home runs or on base percentage, right? People want power hitters now. That's where you get the premium for. So if you just shifted, let's say you just shifted, if we quantified it, instead of 100% dedication to whatever the team needs to win, now it's only like 80% dedication, and the rest is marketing dedication, right? I'm going to start swinging for fences because I want to cash in. I mean, Jose Bautista's had some big home runs, but for God's sake, if he wants to get paid this offseason, he's got to. He's got to have narrative, season narrative erasing home runs. So this team is more streaky this year than it was last year, and I do believe there's a correlation there between free agency and the swinging for the fences that has left a lot of guys stranded on bases because big swings are missing balls.
We're in conversation with Dirk Hayhurst, our TSN 1050 Jays and Major League Baseball analyst. Okay, so as the bullpen struggles and Joaquin Benoit is out of the mix, the debate has begun about, you got a surplus of starting pitching, a plethora. Who would you move into that bullpen for the postseason to try to pad things out a little better than they sit right now?
Okay, so I've heard a lot of people say Marcus Stroman.
Right.
I'm not a fan of that decision. Only because if you're putting him out there to like bridge the gap between the sixth to the seventh inning, you're going to pitch this guy one inning, right? Or that's about all his utility would be for you because this is not a high-leverage strikeout guy. I mean, his strikeouts have trended down most of the season, from last season to the next season. I mean, he is not the outs-getting guy, the high-leverage, strike-a-guy-out guy that you want out there. Now, Aaron Sanchez is. Liriano is. I like both of those. I believe Steve Phillips brought this up.
He did, yeah.
They might put both of them out there. And he's right. They should. Liriano, purely because you need another left-hander out there. And he's one of your best strikeout guys right now. I mean, his last performance kind of concretized that. But having a left-handed outs guy, even if you just used him as a loogie, he would be a great asset to that pen because
use him as a what?
Indian.
What was that word?
A loogie.
What the heck is that?
Left one out only guy. Left-handed one out only guy.
Okay.
You heard that term before? So
okay.
A loogie.
All right.
Even if he's just that, it's a plus. But let's say the Blue Jays match up against someone like the Indians, where they have, five switch hitters and a deep bench and lots of options in their bullpen. We talked about the one-run game thing, right? Well, if the Blue Jays don't blow that team out of the water in the first five innings, they're going to run into this just meat grinder of arm options from both off the bench and out of the bullpen. So having depth out there makes Francisco Liriano a lock. Now, Aaron Sanchez is a guy who can get you a strikeout. He's a power arm. And when you want to bring in a guy who's done it before and recently and get you the strikeout, he's the guy that I'm throwing out there in between his starts because I want him to throw his bullpens live out in the game because I need him. The problem is the Blue Jays, if they've proven anything this season, it's that they're scared to death of using this guy the wrong way, and he probably spends four out of his five rest days packed in ice and saran wrap. So.
Yeah, it has been that and the Bautista contract future, that and Aaron Sanchez's innings and how to use them. Those are the two narratives that have taken us right from the opening day of spring training to today. Thanks for this, Dirk.
I'm sorry?
I said thanks for this.
Oh, thank you, guys. I'm not used to getting thanked for that, but thank you.
There you go. Dirk Hayhurst, our TSN 1050, who is not used to me being that polite. This Baseball Insider is brought to you by Oakland Ford Lincoln, conveniently located at the QEW and Trafalgar Road in Oakville. I feel for John Gibbons a little bit in the Blue Jays because I feel like they're going to get second-guessed no matter what they do in the situation. Like, unless it all just, drops into place perfectly.
Yeah, every decision, every personnel works out. Unless it doesn't, you're going to get destroyed.
Yeah, you're going to look at this
and say, the Gibby chance will just be everywhere.
Well, it's an interesting thing, man, because he is not their guy, right? And we all
whenever you're not the guy or their guy, you're in trouble. I don't care about success or they always just want their own guy. They want to just reinvent the wheel and say, we're gonna find this guy that maybe you've never heard about or has been out of the game and he's just our guy.
Our bright idea.
That's it. Our bright idea.
The one exception to that we've seen in Toronto here is Dwayne Casey with Masai Ujiri. But they've won more games every year and gone further. Well, I guess one year they didn't go further in the playoffs.
Well, Dwayne Casey's almost forced the hand where it's like
you can't fire the guy who every year the team gets better. And it's not like they've added superstar players or something. He's basically had the same team every year and been more successful. So it's a rarity, though. Like, if he hadn't been, if there'd been any sort of slippage, you figure Masai Ujiri would do what everybody else does, go and get his own guy. Coming up at 6 o'clock, Patrick O'Sullivan will join us. He is, of course, former NHLer and TSN 1050's new Maple Leafs analyst for radio broadcasts, and he gets to work right tonight.
That's why I need a one dance, got a Hennessy in my hand, one more time before I go. Higher powers taking a hold on me. I need a one dance. Got a Hennessy in my hand. One more time before I go.
Well, if the World Cup of Hockey doesn't inspire you, Canada versus Team Europe, there's an alternative tonight. Dolphins, Bengals.
Such a weird matchup. You talk about attachment or...
Yeah. That one doesn't scream. Like the Dolphins, who eked one out last week against the Browns, against the Bengals, who are struggling. Yeah, that one does. That one actually screams Thursday Night Football. Somehow, Thursday Night games always seem to be uninspired. How about your Patriots last week, man? Like, I tell you, I generally don't stay up to see the end of these games because I'm getting up at 3 a.m. So I wake up in bed at like 3:15 in the morning on Friday morning last week, and I pull out my TSN Go app, and I look at the score, and I see 27-0 New England. And I say to myself,
how?
I you know what I said to myself? I don't hate the Patriots. I just looked at it, and I just said, bleep off. Like, you didn't beat them 27-0. Like, the fact that you won the game at home without Brady, without Garoppolo, with offensive linemen missing against, you know, what has seemed to be a pretty good Houston Texans team. Okay, you won. All right, I'll give you that. But 27-0?
And it's the ridiculous one game where we have a rule on our show. We never bet against Belichick. But yeah. I thought, you know what? You had two great wins. You're going to take a step back.
Yeah,
Texans are a good team.
They were undefeated Patriots team playing at home, and they were underdogs. The public thought they would lose. And Belichick just said, oh, yeah. You know what? If we were minus 26, we'll cover. Watch this.
And I'll tell you what, as far as NFL transaction goes, if you're following Twitter, whenever the Cleveland Browns pop up, I'm just reading that Josh Gordon is stepping away from football to just clear his life up, go to rehab. And it's to be a fan of that team or that organization, and this is about the person.
Yeah.
He needs to get some help and do whatever he has to do.
Yeah.
But do they want to start seeing one day the Patriots tweets that it's just like 27-0, victory after victory, because they've just been suffering for so long.
Well, here's a couple of things about the you can carve up the Cleveland Browns a million ways, but here's a couple that jump out for me. They had Bill Belichick. He coached the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, that's scary.
They had him. Like they had the greatest coach in maybe not just the history of the National Football League, but in professional sports of this era. Would you agree? I think most people would say he's the greatest coach of this era. The Cleveland Browns had him. And when they went away the first time, when the Browns moved to Baltimore, painted their team purple and called it the Ravens, in the very first draft that the Cleveland Browns were not the Cleveland Browns, they were the Baltimore Ravens. In the first round, they took Ray Lewis, maybe the greatest defensive player in the history of football, who led them to two Super Bowls and won, you know, a ton of games for them. And at left tackle, they took Jonathan Ogden, who's also, well, Ray Lewis isn't in the Hall of Fame yet just because he hasn't been eligible, but Jonathan Ogden is in the Hall of Fame. Maybe the greatest left tackle to play in the game. The very first year they left Cleveland, they nailed those two guys in the first round. And the guys who blew it this time on Carson Wentz, who, you know, gave up that draft pick to get Robert Griffin III, that's the new administration. So if you're a Cleveland Browns fan who are saying, hey, it's all passed, we got new guys. No, those are the new guys who blew that one.
It's crazy. Like, if you go through, it's like the Maple Leafs of, you know, talking about their drafts and trading up and deadline deals that just end up in the tank. That's a whole new story for them.
You know, the nice thing about the Browns for their fans, though, at least, they always put their out of their misery by, like, the end of September, right? It's not like they go 2-2 till, you know, Canadian Thanksgiving or something like that. Usually September is just a wipeout. You can start thinking about the draft by the time we get to October. But Jim Mora, who the former coach of what, the coach the Saints? No, he coached Atlanta, too,
Colts?
Or Jim Mora Jr., Colts. His Jim Mora Jr., the coach, the Atlanta Falcons. He made, every once in a while we see somebody in sports who makes one of these lines that just lives forever. Like the day that Brian Burke said 18-wheeler, you don't have to put any context around that. You just say
it's there forever.
There forever.
His is playoffs.
Yeah. We talked about the Jays last week. We started talking about, boy, you know, the 18-wheeler is hitting gravel here, right, when they were falling. Jim Mora, of course, famously said this.
Playoffs? Don't talk about it. Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
It's a beauty, right?
And it's the best.
And you can't make that stuff up. It's spontaneity was its genius. Jim Mora, who now works as an analyst, has come up with a sequel again, inadvertently, I think they were talking about the Saints. The Saints at 0-3, their season is over. Let's hear Jim Mora's reaction to that.
No, the season. God, I hate to hear that. I hate to hear that.
I'm just saying the statistics
it's
say.
Is the season over? They have 13. They have 13 more games to play. Is the season over? Can they go home and pack their bags and go home? You just said the season's over. That's the most negative statement that I hear from fans and media ever. Ever. And it bugs me.
Okay, well, how about
is the season over? No, there's 13 more games to play. 13 more games to play, and you're saying the season's over? Unbelievable.
Jim Mora, maybe not one destined for the all-time list.
The sad thing
list.
Is, deep down, he probably understands the season's probably over.
Well, the stats on NFL teams, right? You go 0-2. Like, it's overwhelmingly likely you don't make it. 0-3, I think it's the San Diego Chargers, one of the few teams that have come back. I saw that recently, that started 0-3 and made the postseason. The NFL is tough, right? 12 out of 32. Which is part of what puts so much juice into the league, because when you're watching a game in September.
So intense, 16 games.
Who was it last week that came? It was the Washingtons that came back in that game and won it against the Giants. Like, if they lose that and 0-3.
They're done.
And because the NFC East is good this year. I mean, the Eagles are 3-0. Dallas is good. It's not the garbage division that it was last year. Coming up on our final half hour of the program, we will be joined by Patrick O'Sullivan after 6 o'clock. He is TSN 1050's new Leafs color analyst. Announced today, former NHLer will join us. He will be also part of the broadcast that follows our program coming up at 6:30. Leafs pregame, Leafs and the Sabres from St. Catharines, coming up on our station here. That's next